There we go. Well, welcome again to Start Coaching in 60 Minutes. This is Val Hastings, and it's a pleasure on my part to be able to spend the next 55 or so minutes with you. And what I'd propose for the next 50 or so minutes that we're together is I want to cover real briefly what we call the five-step coaching model to give you a framework for coaching, kind of get you started with the process of coaching. But I'm just going to do that real quick, and then I want to coach someone on the call. So in a couple minutes, I'll be looking for someone to be a coaching demo, someone to volunteer. And what I'm going to do is use the coaching model or something close to that and let you see coaching in action. And then I'm going to answer your questions and go a little deeper into how to get started coaching, especially using this process. So let me just run through the five-step coaching process. Again, this is on the website if you want to take a look at it. But the five steps real quick include listen, evoke, clarify, brainstorm, and support. And let me talk about the first two, listen and evoke. We often refer to these as the foundation of coaching. In our accelerated coach training, one of the things that we emphasize is that all coaching begins with listening. And so that's why the foundation for coaching is listening. So we're listening for what's being said, what's not being said. We're listening not only for the presenting issue, why they're calling us, but also what's below or behind that issue. So we're listening at multiple levels. We're also evoking, which is step two. And again, I'm just running through this rather quickly. So once we've heard and we've given the person a chance to really tell us, their story, we want to evoke, and by evoke we mean going further with them. It's rare in today's world that we have anyone listen to us, rarer still to have someone say, tell me more. So when we're coaching, we want the person to tell us more. I like to think of evoking like when I grew up we had well water, and we used to have to let the tap run to get the dirty water out, and then you got to the good stuff. So evoking is like getting to the good water. So you let it run with listening, and then you move right into evoking. You get to the good stuff. Step three is to clarify. And step three is where you as the coach really begin to engage and to speak. Up till now, the person you're coaching or the group you're coaching has been doing most of the talking, in fact, 80% of it. When we move into the clarifying stage, now's your chance to be like a mirror and to help the person or group you're working with see and hear what they've just said. So you might say things like, so what I heard you say is, or based on what you've just told me, let me bottom line it for you. Here's the issue. So that's clarify. We help them get clear, or what I call we get out the Windex, and we create a Windex experience for someone so they can see even clearer. Step four is brainstorming. What typically happens at stage four as a coach is we're really eager now to move them into an action plan. But step four is important, where we pause for a moment and we brainstorm about alternatives, about action. The reason that we brainstorm instead of moving right into a plan is that most individuals and groups have a typical way of responding or acting. And what we want to do is we want to widen their experience to other ways of responding and acting. So we want to encourage them to set aside the usual way they might move forward, and let's develop four, five, or six other ways that they might move forward. They still might decide to do the same thing they've always done, but at least we've broadened their range of possibilities. Another way to describe brainstorming is we ask them to walk to the other side of the room and then turn around and look at the same thing from the other side of the room. So once we've brainstormed them, then we're ready for step number five, which is support. What's the action that's going to support this? What kind of support do you need? Where does sabotage show up? What's the plan? So that was a real quick overview. As I said, I'm going to go over that in greater detail in a couple of minutes. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to have a volunteer to coach. And it needs to be someone that has a real scenario. Maybe it's something you want more of, or something you want less of, or you're at one of those decision points in life, or maybe you're feeling stuck. So I have a volunteer. I hear somebody. Who would be willing to volunteer? And I'm just going to coach you for about 10, maybe 15 minutes just to demonstrate the model. Typically, people pay me $300 for this. So how's that? You get it for free. Who's willing to step up and be brave? So you've got Brent, Kurt, Don, Jeff on the call. Which one of you?
Just well, this is Kirk, and I'm engaged with the coach at the moment, so we have already done a lot of this, so somebody else go ahead.
Okay, so Kirk, you'll be our fallback guy in case no one else volunteers.
Okay.
I'll step up for you, Val.
Okay, who's that?
This is Jeff.
Jeff, all right. Great. Thank you, Jeff. All right. Jeff, I'm going to put a red star next to your name.
Awesome.
How's that? All right. Well, Jeff, I know you've been coached before, so but thank you. This is a great opportunity for all of us to learn. So, Jeff, I'm going to coach you no more than 15 minutes, so we might not get through the entire coaching process. Is that okay, first of all?
That's fine.
Okay, and remember, this is being recorded, so you may want to sanitize some names or things. Okay. All right. Still want to be coached, Jeff?
You know it. Even more.
All right. Great. And, Jeff, I know you know this just from previous coaching, but I am a member of the International Coach Federation. What we say, our conversation is held in the strictest of confidence and confidentiality. Same applies to those that are on the call. I'm going to ask that they all keep this in confidence. I want this to be a safe space for you, and I really want this to be a time that's your time. So, Jeff, any questions before we get started?
No questions.
All right. Jeff, what would you like to be coached on?
So, Val, I just completed, just yesterday, a big test, a certification test unrelated to coaching, but an important test. I passed it, which I'm very happy about. So that has the preparation for that has really defined my schedule in many ways for the last few weeks. So coming out of that, so having something very specific to work towards, having been successful, now but coming out of that, and then also with the holiday season, being a professional, it's things that are slowing down, actually, in my business. So I want to make the most use of this, of coming out of this period of structure and focus and into this period of sort of openness where there's not a lot of activity from clients, and really make the most out of it. And I'm feeling a little... especially today, since I just finished the test yesterday, especially today, feeling really restless and unfocused and just need to get going.
Okay. All right. Well, Jeff, first of all, congratulations. The big test is over.
Thank you.
I applaud you. I know you and I have had some conversation about that, but congratulations. The big test is over. And I believe what I heard you say is that you want to make the most of this time. And then at the very end you said you're feeling restless. What more would be helpful for me to know, Jeff?
There's lots of things on my to-do list. And they're all needing to be self-generated, meaning I have, there's no deadline, there's no client waiting. All those things that have some dependency for somebody else, I'm taking care of, I have no issue with that. All of these things that I have on my list are need to be self-driven.
Okay. Big to-do list, self-driven. What's the worst case scenario with this, Jeff?
Well, the worst case scenario is I don't get focused. I leave my office and I go up and I watch ESPN all day.
Okay.
And nothing gets done. And nothing gets done.
Okay, and nothing gets done. Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, Jeff, how realistic is it that this worst case scenario or something close to it happen?
Not likely. One. You know, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to get things done.
Okay.
I'm going to be on January 1st, I'm going to be in a better situation and more prepared than I am sitting here right now. So very unlikely.
Okay. Unlikely, and I heard in your voice this conviction of it's going to get done. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So. All right. So, tell me then, 5 minutes from now when we're done this laser coaching situation, what do you want to be walking away with?
Focus and enthusiasm towards the things on my list.
Focus and enthusiasm. Okay. Define both of those for me, focus and enthusiasm.
So focus, starting something, picking one of the things on my list based on the priority, picking it and just being zoomed in and not being distracted by anything, feel really in the groove almost. Like things are just flowing. A lot of these things are business planning and preparation, setting the tone, or not the tone, but setting the landscape for some things I want to be working on in the new year.
Okay.
So I need some creativity. So I guess included in focus would be some creativity, and just being able to zoom in and feel the flow of ideas and to have fun while I'm doing it.
To have fun while you're doing it. Okay. Talk to me about enthusiasm, how that fits in with focus.
Well, to me, enthusiasm is really the gas, you know, the gas to this, you know, the fuel is to have that enthusiasm. That's going to really, it's going to create the energy and the draw, the pull of these things on my list.
Okay.
To get them done.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So where do we begin, Jeff? Do you want to leave with focus and enthusiasm?
Well, you know, I work well in terms of focus, I work well when I have a goal in mind. And the thing is it, like my, I can't fool my brain. I can to an extent, but it can't be manufactured. Like, okay, December 30th or November 30th, have this done. I mean, that works to an extent, but it's almost like I need a fixed date, like the test that I just finished. I knew the test was at 12:30 on November 21st, and I organized everything to align my studying, my planning, my other work around that. And that wasn't manufactured. I mean, I had to pick the date, obviously, and schedule myself for that. But it was, I was accountable to something besides my own imagination.
Gotcha.
So I guess to answer your question, maybe creating, finding a way to have that really, I'll call it that hard, that concrete accountability.
And I'm hearing your words like hard, concrete.
Mm-hmm.
They sound solid, etched in stone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like somebody is depending, you know, it's not necessarily somebody, but, you know, to the extent, like somebody is depending on this, you know, there's something on the line.
What is on the line, Jeff?
Well, to me, with looking at the things on my list, to me, what's on the line is a successful 2012. Having things in place that are really going to set me up to have a great year, which I need to have. I have a very specific plan overall for next, you know, January 1st of 2013 to be in a particular place by that date. I guess I would say that.
Okay. So what's at stake then is 2012?
Yeah.
That's what's at stake.
Okay. Right.
And Jeff, I'm just going to push the pause button for a moment. How are we doing so far?
Doing well. On a great track. Yeah.
Okay, we're on a great track.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's stay on that track then. And Jeff, I'm just going to go out on a limb. If this is irrelevant, just tell me, and we'll let it go. But you spoke about the big test, and how the big test kind of worked for you. If we were to kind of see the big test as a template that might help here, what would transfer over from the big test you just took to this that you could apply?
A fixed date, a concrete date to shoot for. And then also thinking, I mapped out when I registered for the exam, I knew I had X number of days, and I laid out my plan, my studying plan, day by day, and I blocked off chunks of time each day to study.
Okay. All right. So that's possible here in this scenario.
It is.
All right. Brainstorm with me just for a moment. In addition to a concrete date, blocking it out, mapping it out, brainstorm with me. What else might be of help?
I'll just say it. I'm not sure how to create this, but real accountability. And again, the reality is I had an appointment at 12:30 yesterday to sit for this test. And sure, I could have called and canceled and rescheduled, but to me, there was a concrete point in time.
Okay.
So if there was some real, you know, capital R-E-A-L, real accountability associated with this, then I think, as if I were to commit to a paying client, say, I'm going to get you back to you by Friday with a proposal or Friday with this or that. If there was something real like that associated with these things, that would be, that would, I think that would be a big help.
All right. And Jeff, we've just got maybe 2 to 3 minutes left, so I'm just going to fast forward just a bit, if that's okay?
Yeah, sure.
Is that okay? And Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what I'm hearing is that while the concrete date, mapping it out, a block of time are important, the biggie for you that's going to make this a success is this real, capital R-E-A-L, accountability.
Yes.
Jeff, if we can crack that nut, this will happen for you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And again, I apologize. We've only got about 2 more minutes left. But just, you know, what would be the craziest way of real accountability versus the simplest way to put real accountability into this?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, I've toyed with the idea with a colleague who I don't have a business relationship with. We just are friends and support each other, of getting together on a few other things in preparation and actually getting together physically, even though we live some distance apart.
Okay.
So I don't know how crazy this is, but you know, I'm just thinking if I was accountable to a date and to him when we meet to bring to our meeting, which is going to be just more brainstorming and planning, but to bring some of these things to that meeting on that date, I think that would be some real accountability.
Okay. And Jeff, I want to press you. Is that real in capital letters accountability or real non-capital letters?
To me, when it comes to promise, and it's even different than working with my coach, because I'm not meeting with him and bringing my deliverables. This seems different, you know, to have a colleague and a friend who I'm traveling an hour and a half to meet somewhere, and he's making a commitment too to travel so that we can actually work on this stuff together. That seems capital R real.
Okay. All right. So you've got one solid option here for real accountability. What others? And just kind of bullet point it for me real quick. What others, if any?
The only thing I can think of, just the beginning of a thought, is to break down that January 1st of 2013 into some smaller chunk and create some accountability around that. I don't know what that will be, but just inherently that seems like the right, you know, a good thing to do.
Okay.
It's indirectly related. I guess you could actually say directly related to these to-dos. But I think that's the beginnings of an idea of more real accountability.
Okay. Jeff, would you be willing to entertain both of these, real accountability with a friend and then breaking down the next year?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So Jeff, just to wrap up our time, let's imagine that it's January 1st, 2012, about 40 days from now, you and I are on the phone together, and you're reporting back to me on this. What's the plan that's gotten you there successfully?
Well, I'm in conversation with my friend, my colleague, to set a date in December for us to get together.
Okay.
But I think the short term is to set that date and to make a plan to have all of the things I want to have ready for that meeting and have those done, and then, you know, in a folder, bringing them to that conversation.
Okay. All right. Anything else that's brought you to a place of success on January 1?
I would say having a first quarter goal.
Okay.
Establishing a first quarter target that's related to these things that I'm working on.
Okay. All right. I want to invite you to make a commitment to those two.
Okay.
To meet with this real accountability and to get at least a first quarter goal on the calendar. Okay.
Yep.
And Jeff, just one more thing. What are you leaving with after our coaching today?
Well, besides those two things, I think, you know, just again the realization of how valuable this type of conversation is, and really don't, you know, not to wallow in the muck and mire of this feeling of being sort of feeling disjointed and uninspired, but just to talk it out, to work through it, to have a coaching-like conversation.
Okay, great. Well, Jeff, thank you. I appreciate
your
willingness to step up and to be coached today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Hey, and I just want to bring the class back now. We've got about 25 or so minutes. This may have been the first time you've actually heard anyone coach for others. I know you've been coached. We're looking in particular at the coaching model, listen, evoke, clarify, brainstorm, and support. Talk to me about, you know, what you noticed or what you observed in my coaching of Jeff. Who will go first?
This is Kirk. I noticed one thing early on. There's not a real total clear delineation between the different categories you did. You did just a little bit of the clarifying and able to get him to evoke. You said something about, I hear you saying this, tell me more about it. So there was a little overplay between the two, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Good observation, Kirk.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, let me just say a little more about that. All coaching begins with listening, but then it's not linear, as Kirk is pointing out. Sometimes in order to evoke more, we need to clarify or brainstorm. And so after the listening as step one, then the others, there's no real particular order. Yeah. So, someone else, what did you observe or notice? Or maybe one of you have a question about. So tell me, Val, why did you do this as opposed to that? Questions.
This is Don, and I think the thing I noticed more was, again, you asking lots of questions to clarify, but then kind of guiding along those same lines. Am I wrong in that?
Well, Don, tell me more about the guiding along the lines that you mentioned.
Well, I think you were keeping the conversation, I think, focused in moving in a forward direction. When I say guidance, I guess you were clarifying, but you were clarifying towards a direction, if I can picture it in my mind. You weren't just taking circles around, but trying to kind of lead the conversation forward. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does, Don, and you're spot on. The coaching is about moving forward, and so while I'm not telling Jeff what to do or I'm not setting the agenda, what I am doing though is setting the like the guideline that we're moving from here to there. We're moving forward. Yeah. Absolutely.
In doing something like that, I guess I'm picturing like boundaries on a road, and you're kind of keeping it between those boundaries in a way as you move forward. Is that correct?
Oh, that'd be a good way to look at that, yes. They're like the lines painted on the road, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, great way to look at that. And let me just take a moment to talk a little more about what coaching is and what it isn't. Coaching is not about telling or fixing. Coaching is about discovery. It's helping the person, you know, like we just heard with Jeff, he kind of had within him the answers. And my role as the coach is just to let's stay between the lines. Let's keep moving. And Jeff, I loved your statement at the end that this reminded you just how helpful it is to just be in the coaching process versus thinking it through. I think you said something like that.
Yeah, being stuck in the muck.
Stuck in the muck, yeah. Yeah. Other questions, comments, just about the coaching that you observed? All right. So let me go back then through the model just a little deeper now. This is how to get started coaching at 60 minutes, and this is something you can begin doing right away. Step one is to listen. And you heard me do that with Jeff. It's all about the listening. What was one of the very first things you heard me say to Jeff that I heard from him, one of my first statements to him? Anyone remember what that was? He had talked about the big test and told me a little bit about what he wanted. And what did I say before I moved into the coaching?
First thing he said was you congratulated him on achieving that goal.
Yeah. Why did I do that?
Build a little bit of rapport, perhaps.
Okay, yeah, built rapport.
You're building off something positive he's experienced.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to tap into the greatness of Jeff. You know, as he described at the end of coaching, he was kind of stuck in the muck. And so what I want to do is tap into his unstuckness. He just completed a big test. Congratulations. One of the things that we know from human development is that acknowledgments and applauding someone and tapping into their greatness is a very effective way to help someone get unstuck and to move forward. It's kind of like it's easier to steer a car that's moving than one that's sitting still. So we applaud. We look for the greatness in him. Congratulations on the big test. What an accomplishment. Yeah. And so in the listening, you know, I heard that. So rather than jumping in right away, how do I fix Jeff, which is not what coaching is about, how do I develop Jeff? So I listen for where I can applaud him. Two things I want to do in every coaching situation. I want to be curious, and I want to acknowledge. So that was my way of acknowledging and applauding him. So we listen, and we hear all kinds of things. What's great about Jeff? What his frustrations are? What his values are? How he learns, how he operates. And then we evoke, we tell more. And I love the person that said, I clarified to evoke more. So there's that interplay that's going on there. Tell me more. If there's one phrase you use, whether you're officially coaching or just talking to someone, to just use the phrase, tell me more. After they faint and fall out of their seat, they will tell you more. You know, how often does someone actually say to us, tell me more? Usually when I'm sharing with someone, they're thinking about what they're going to say when I take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone get that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So listen and evoke. Questions, comments about listening and evoking?
I think that one of the things I heard was you allowing for silence.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just filling in the dead space.
Yeah. Say some more about that, because your silence is so important when coaching.
Well, I think the tendency in my mind is that we try to fill that dead space because it's uncomfortable, but sometimes that's the processing time where we've got to really think some things through and be able to articulate it. And if we're not willing to allow it to be quiet, then it never comes that way. It never comes to fruition.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, you've got it. Jeff, if I can call on you. Go ahead, someone else.
Oh, this is Kirk. I was just going to say, in addition to that, one of the basic things that I've learned just with working with people that extroverts tend to think out loud and introverts tend to think internally. And introverts, if you fill up that space, it interrupts their thought process. Giving them a few seconds or, you know, maybe even 30 seconds or a minute allows the person to think and come up with the best response.
Yeah. Yep, you're spot on, Kirk. Yeah. Usually when I begin coaching someone, I'll ask them something like this. What are the 10 things I absolutely need to know about you in order to be the best possible coach?
Mm.
And Kirk, often the introvert will tell me I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
Or I really need to think things through. Or they'll use some kind of language like that. Yeah. Jeff, if I could call on you, what impact did the silence have in my coaching of you, if any?
To be honest, I don't even, it wasn't noticeable. I think it just created probably created a good pace. You weren't pushing me along, and you weren't dragging behind. It was good spacing and the silence in those spaces, however short or long it was, just created a nice conversational pace for me to think, for you to think and respond or ask. So I don't know that it was something in particular, though.
Okay. All right. So I was really matching your pace then, your style.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's part of that coaching process. We listen for the pace, the tone, and the volume. Did you notice a couple times I commented on tone or emphasis, articulation that I heard in Jeff? Can anyone recall a time or two when I noted that for him? Anyone? He used words like hard and concrete. And then another time he talked about, I'm going to do this, and I kind of just shined a flashlight on the way he said the word going.
Mm.
Okay, that's like holding up the mirror. It's helping them get clearer, you know, on things as they go forward. Okay. So we've covered listen, evoke, clarify. Brainstorming. I actually brainstormed with Jeff a couple of times. We brainstormed a bit, went forward, and then I had him brainstorm some more. And you know, you heard him come up with real, capital R, accountability, as well as first quarter goals. You know, so he's got some new things now on the landscape for himself. As he moves forward, and then at the end of support, what's the plan? Who came up with the plan?
Jeff did.
Jeff did, yeah. Yeah. Why did Jeff come up with the plan instead of me telling him, here's the plan? Someone jump in.
It's his plan, and it's, I think for almost anyone, you you will take more ownership of a plan when it's your plan rather than something someone else telling you to do.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. If he develops the plan, he owns it. Yep. And he's more likely to do it. Yeah. Okay. So let me stop there for a moment. You know, based on what we've covered today, what further would be helpful to hear?
One question that I had, this is Kirk again, and I'm exploring the possibility of branching out into, you know, maybe doing some coaching work with some other people that are already trained.
Okay.
When you're going through the five steps, and lots of times I believe you'll be in a coaching relationship where you might work with someone for 6 or 8 weeks, every time you work with them, do you go through the five steps, or might you spend a session or two on listening and a session or two on evoking? Is there a set framework like that, or does it really just depend on the person?
Great question, Kirk. Let me back up for a moment and say that actually the first 5 years that I coached and people paid me as a coach, I used this five-step model, and no one asked for their money back.
Okay.
Okay?
And yeah.
Going forward, you're absolutely right. If you're in an ongoing, you know, coaching relationship with someone, you might regularly go through all five steps each time. And then there may be those times when they just say, you know what, I just need to get a couple things off my chest. So now they're telling you to listen and evoke. That's it. Or they may say, you know what, I've been thinking since our last call, I've got a whole bunch of things going through my mind, but I need some concrete steps. Now we're going to go to brainstorming and support.
Okay, so it could go either way.
It can. It can go either way. It all begins with listening. Even if they want to brainstorm, I might say, okay, bring me up to speed.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Let me offer another piece just around communication and listening. 7% of communication are the actual words that we use. Okay, so 7% are the words. 3% of communication is completely unknown. We don't know how it's communicated. It just gets passed along. 90% of communication is nonverbal, tone, pace, volume. It's a shift in our body. It's the changing of words. It's the values that are communicated. It's those subtleties that we hear. One of the common mistakes newer coaches make is to listen to the 7%, almost exclusively the words, and they miss 90% of it, which is the nonverbal. So when we're listening, you know, I'm almost spending more of my time listening to tone, pace, volume, greatness, values, all those things, the greatness that Jeff is revealing, those nonverbals. Thank you, Kirk. Great question.
Okay.
Anyone else? Another question. And I'll just kind of shift it a little bit. Here's your chance to ask a seasoned coach that's been doing this since 1999. So if you could ask someone who's been doing this well, this is my sole job. This is how I support my family. If you could ask a seasoned coach any question, what might that be? And I love the subtle laugh in the background from somebody.
Well, this is Don, and I've got, I guess, a question, and it's based on how do you define success for yourself as you coach?
How do I define success for myself as a coach? And do you mean more with like each person or a big picture?
No, I think as you're walking through your different opportunities as far as being a coach, looking at each one as something that's a positive check, if that makes sense, or I'm not sure. I know everything's kind of based on what they decide to do with what they've agreed to. But at the same time, how do you define success? Because you're not trying to live through them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And in fact, as a coach, it's like if you're coaching 30, 35 people a week, you've got to forget them and get on to the next person. Here's how I define success. For me, it's having 4, 5, 6, 7 people like Jeff today. You know, and just hearing at the end, you know, I was stuck in the muck, and I'm not stuck anymore. So for me, in particular, since I coach pastors, you know, to know, well, one more pastor is not stuck. One more congregation is going to move forward. If it's a business leader who says, you know, I really know where I'm going next, to know one more business is going to make it. And so you're right, I don't live through them, but I live with them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know is that even if it's a 15-minute conversation, their whole world can shift with just 15 minutes in a coaching call. And for me, that's success. Does that help, Don?
It does. It does.
We've probably got time for another question or two. What have you always wanted to ask a seasoned coach? What's the question you dare never ask? Go ahead. Yeah.
This is Kirk again, and I had a specific church-type question. I'm a United Methodist minister as well, and I'm wondering if you could speak to the leap of faith it took to leave the security of a congregation and a guaranteed appointment to branch out on your own into a business like this.
Yeah. Kirk, I'm a recovering United Methodist pastor. How do you like that? yeah. Well, Kirk, whether it's a United Methodist pastor or anyone in full-time, in some kind of full-time profession, it is,
sure,
as you called it, kind of a jump of faith, a leap of faith. In particular, as United Methodist, because we have that, what we call guarantee of an appointment. The plan for me, Kirk, was that maybe in the year 2011-2012, I might take the leap forward and go into coaching full-time. And the plan was that I'd get there by adding one or two clients here or there. And I would coach Thursdays. When I was pastoring full-time, my church gave me permission to coach on Thursdays.
Okay.
But here's what happened, Kirk. Back in 2003-2004, all of a sudden 30 clients showed up at once.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, and they wanted to work with me for 12 months. Okay, so I had a 12-month contract. 30 clients gave me the money, you know, the finances I needed to make this work. And I was faced with the question, do I stay a full-time pastor or do I work with 30 or more pastors?
Right.
At that point, it became clear to me to make the jump.
Okay. That
makes sense. Initially, Kirk, was to just kind of gradually get there a couple at a time.
Okay.
Does that kind of trigger some additional questions for you, or?
No. It just essentially says that sometimes that our plans aren't big enough. Or they come to fruition a lot more quickly than we expect.
They do. What helped me get 30 clients all at once, and I talk about this in our training, I met a couple of connectors. And connectors
right.
are people that know how to make things happen and they know people. One of my connectors brought me those 30 clients.
Okay.
So Kirk, if you're sold out on that this might be your calling,
mm-hmm.
hook up with connectors.
Okay.
It'll happen.
That will be good. So, okay. Yeah, that's
okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, absolutely. Last call. Any other questions? Is there anything you'd like to hear? Okay. Well, thank you for spending the last 55 minutes with me on the call. I want to encourage you to use the five-step coaching model, listen, evoke, clarify, brainstorm, and support. As you heard me say, that's what I used the first 5 years I coached, and nobody asked for their money back yet.
Okay.
And when in doubt, listen.
Okay.
Thank you to all of you. And as if I can be of help going forward, don't hesitate to send me an email or give me a quick call. But thank you again.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Hey, thank you, have a great day, everyone. Yep. Bye.
Okay.